Really great to have Russ and Leslie with us this morning. Russ and Leslie have a sort of itinerant ministry. They travel quite a bit. People come and visit them in their home. But they do that out of their relationship with HBC and see themselves very much part of what we are about. We get to see them maybe two or three times a year because they are traveling and doing lots of ministry at weekends. So it's great that they're here. And so we're just going to pray for them and look forward to hearing a little bit more from them. So, Father, thank you so much for Russ and Leslie. Thank you for their walk with you, Lord, over many years, and for their faithfulness in serving you and seeking to follow the call on their lives. And we pray this morning, Lord, that as they are with us, that together we might just have hearts that are open and ears that are ready to hear you speak. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Andy, for your welcome. Good morning, everyone. Nice to see you again. Nice to see a lot of new faces as well. I hope you're not going to get bored with me appearing every Advent. You did have a rest from me last year. But I think this must be the 13th sermon I've preached on an Advent theme in the last 5 years. So we did three on the trot. You recall I wrote them all for the different speakers, including myself. And then here we are again. So this is another new one. And we're going to involve you all in one way or other this morning. So you will know that I am a fan of Christmas. Yes, I have changed my jumper, so I thought I would like to wear a Joy to the World Snoopy t-shirt this morning, but I'm still celebrating the birth of our Lord. And so we're going to do a little exercise later on that you're all going to be involved in if you want to. But before I do that, I just want to draw attention to some things from the Christmas story that I think are still relevant for you and I today, and as it was then, so it is now. It is true for Jesus and all the events, but it is also true for us, and I'll just give you a broad outline of what that is. So, when I was a minister in Mountain Ash, which is back, I started there in 1972, a missionary to India, a man called Stanley Jones, who's written quite a number of books. Anybody ever read a book by Stanley Jones? No, I wouldn't. Oh, well done. Good. Okay. And one of the things that he did, he's written many books, and if you see them in a second-hand bookshop or, you know, on Amazon for a penny, it's probably worth getting them because he's got some really good things to say. But anyway, back then, he was working in Korea, and during a visit to one of the churches, he found an elder who had written the New Testament, the whole of the New Testament, on a large picture, something like about 4x3, and he'd written it so small that the whole of the New Testament, whole of the New Testament was on that. And then he darkened certain words and letters in that to reveal Christ in the midst of the whole New Testament. Now, we have brought it on a PowerPoint for you to see, and maybe later we'll be able to get it up, but Andy tells me there's been so many problems with the PowerPoint this morning that we don't want to risk everything else just with this picture that I brought. But it's wonderful because it exactly says what this message is about, is that the living word, Christ, springs out of the word, out of the words of the New Testament. And so I hope you'll be able to see it. If you're interested, you can even buy it online. It's not that expensive, but it costs about £40 just to get it from the United States, which is a bit much, really, but there we go. But hopefully you'll get to see it, and you'll see what a wonderful picture it is. But it is just a reminder to you and me that out of all the things that we're going to be doing this Advent, this Christmas, all the words that we're going to say to people, all the things we're going to write in our Christmas cards, all those of us who are going to do reports, that the really important thing is that Christ shines through everything. Now, I'm going to encourage you later by showing you a different picture, which is much new, and some of you may have seen it. But before we do that, let me just outline a few things really from the Christmas story. So, we're in Matthew and we're in Luke, if you want to just follow in the scriptures. And one of the things that you will know from these two stories is that the coming of Christ was the fulfillment of prophecy. The coming of Christ was God fulfilling all the promises that he's given in the Old Testament. So how many promises do you think there might be in the Old Testament of the coming of Christ? Any idea?
365.
Oh, you're not far out. Is that a guess?
No.
Have you seen that then somewhere?
Yeah.
Right, okay. Well, if you don't believe him, they're all here. I didn't prompt him to do that. I'm not even sure he's right, really, because my sources say 353. But he's illustrated almost the point that I wanted to make, was that there is almost a promise for every day of the year that you can look at in the scriptures that will encourage you that if God said something, God intends it to come to pass. So if God has said something to you over the years and he's given you a promise, it's like he's prophesied that actually this is going to take place in your life. It will come to pass. And so I hope you can just reflect on a scripture or a prophecy that you've received from someone or received directly from the Lord and think to yourself, actually, God always keeps his word. So for Leslie and me, that's really important. We were sitting on a beach in Cannes in the south of France in 1976 when God said, we are going to move to Chester. The church hadn't asked us to come, but God had said he was going to do it. And so, sure, in 1977, we moved from Mountain Ash and we came to Chester. And so some of those promises that God gave us and that beach are still running with us today, and they haven't stopped, and God keeps reminding us of what he said and keeps encouraging us that he who opened a door, no one else can close. But if he closes a door, nobody else can open it. So there are all these promises, as you read back through the familiar stories during this season of Advent, that are going to, if you take the time, just remind you of what God has said to you shall surely come to pass. The second thing I want to say is, in this story, there are lots of stuff to do with provision. There needs to be a provision, and so it has to be for Jesus too. So, let's just think of the most well-known provision in the Christmas story, which has to be gold, frankincense, myrrh. Have you ever thought about why the wise men brought those things? I hope you know, don't you, that the wise men never appeared at the stable. They never appeared. They came to a house, not to a stable. And you'll see that in the course of events that they went to the temple and they gave thanks, as was the Jewish tradition, for the birth of a son. And when they came to give thanks for the birth of a son, they had to bring some offerings. Anybody remember what the offerings were? No? Go on. Luke? Yes, Andy says. Really, give him a chance, Andy, really. He's on form, so that's really good, isn't it, as your minister? So, he's read the Bible. That's very good. Have you read it all this year in one go? Because I think I was here, I spoke in January. Yes, because he said in January he was going to read it all the way through. So you're on course, are you?
Yes.
Right. Good. Okay. You wouldn't dare say no. Right. Luke 2, okay, and 24. And to offer sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. So that tells us that the wise men had not arrived, because otherwise they would have not been able to offer the offering of the poor, because they would have had gold and frankincense and myrrh. So what happens in the Christmas story, as you recall, is that eventually they have to leave and go to Egypt. And I believe that that provision of the gold and frankincense and the myrrh was in order for them to be able to live while they were out of the land. So that reminds me again of a very simple truth, that God knows what you and I need. Some of you have been very generous and responded to us because we've been through a difficult season financially, and God is clearly in a season where he's changing things for us throughout 2016, and you responded. And what I want to say really is that God knows what's coming next. God knows the end of something from a beginning. Is that true? Does that appear in the Bible? Do you know where it appears in the Bible so you know I'm not making it up? I'm not going to test Andy again. So, the predicateur in Hungary refers to the preacher, which refers to Ecclesiastes. Okay, so you'll find it there. So there's a real sense that as we read the Christmas story again and again, you may think, well, actually there's not much provision in a stable, whatever that might have looked like, whether it was a cave or the back of an inn, in the way in which we associate it with our Christmas cards. But that's not the place to focus. The place to focus is on the gifts that the wise men brought. So there's that whole sense of God knowing what we need. You see, God doesn't treat us any differently from his son. That's what John 5 says. God doesn't have one type of love for his son and one type of love for us. It's one love. And the way in which he feels and provides for his son when he was on earth is the way that God feels about you and me today and will continue to provide for us today. So the Christmas story reminds me that there are promises, and if Dave's right, well, then there's a promise. Did you say 365 or 366? 365. Okay. Did you know that there are 366 do not fears in the Bible? One for every day, including a leap year. So Dave's left the leap year out, really. But they can have a look at them here. I'll give that to Andy or Sue, and if you want copies, we'll send it through to the office, and then you can have your own copies and work your way through. So there's promises which are today, provision. The third thing I want to just remind you of in this story, of course, is the way in which God protects his investment. All right, the way in which God protects his son. The first vulnerable moment has got to be when Joseph suddenly realizes that the woman he's engaged to is pregnant. And suddenly the thought really, well, I don't want to be the father of a child who's not my own. And so in the midst of that, God deals with that situation, deals with all the conflict that's going on, and protects his son in that family environment. You know, of course, when the wise men come, that Herod is totally displeased with the thought of another king in the land, and so the wise men may have taken up to 2 years because that's all the children that he killed. But again, he's watching over his son, he's watching over his anointed, and he takes him away and he puts him in a safe place. And so Jesus comes through the whole birth and early infant experience. Now, I know there's a lot of difficulties at the moment. I contend with God about a whole number of issues at the moment. The Christians who are in Aleppo, in different parts of those who are going through stuff in Iran and Iraq and Somalia. But I still believe in a God who is our protector. A God who is our protector. That he watches over his own. I may not understand why some of the things happen, and I may contend with God for people who are in that dangerous place. I still recognize, really, that God is my protector. Martin Luther wrote a hymn called "A Sovereign Protector I Have." If you don't know that old hymn from the 16th century, have a look at it again. You'll be pleased to know that though he wrote it in German, we have it in English so you can understand the language. But that's basically at the heart of something, that God's heart is to protect you and I because we are his investment for the world. And God is always looking for a return of his investment. And so God will watch over you and watch over the word that he's spoken for your life. And we see that time and again, really, in the life of Christ. And the fourth thing I want to say before we do the exercise together is the place
of the Holy Spirit in all of these stories. So you may look at it and think, well, there's not much evidence of the place of the Holy Spirit in these stories. But in these stories, the Holy Spirit is demonstrated to in one particular way, again and again and again. And the Holy Spirit is demonstrated in dreams. Time and time again, people are guided by dreams. Conversations happen in dreams. Names are given in dreams. The picture of the stories of Christmas are not complete if we take the dreams out of the story. And some of you will know, because we've interpreted many dreams for you over the years. We teach on dreams to other ministers and in service training. Sue has lots of dreams. You still having dreams? Okay. So dreams, I think, are an integral part of the way in which the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you and me. And I believe really that if we exclude it, we're excluding a dynamic of the Holy Spirit that we should not exclude. Now, you know, I did psychology at university, so I know about all the things that can arise really from whether you've eaten cheese or pizza the night before, or whether you're going through, you know, some deep problems, that your dreams may reflect that. And I recognize that, and that's part of the discernment that we need to exercise. But I still believe that God speaks to us through dreams. And if you haven't read it, you should read the number of people in the Muslim world who are coming to faith in Christ through dreams, meeting Jesus in dreams, responding to Jesus in dreams. And we do ourselves a disservice in the West if we suddenly think, well, actually, that's not relevant for us in the West. It's very relevant for us, I believe, in the West. And we need to deal with our unbelief that says God can't break in and speak to us in that way. And surely, as you and I will know, sometimes it's easier for God to speak to us when we're asleep than when we're awake. So this is, for me, a dynamic of the Holy Spirit. And if you follow me and want my P for that, then it's the Paraclete, the one who is called to be alongside us in everything that we go through. So lots of you are going through difficult things at the moment. He is the Paraclete, the one called alongside, the one who will speak to you when you're awake and when you're asleep, and who will bring together the things that he's outworking life. So for me, there's a lot in there, and I want to focus on that area of how God's going to speak to you and I this Christmas. So, if the PowerPoint is working, I would like the one of the face of Jesus, please. Okay. So, I hope you can make out the face of Jesus. Can you? I know it's lots of these puzzles, you know, that come on the internet really and come to you. I can never see what I'm supposed to see. But at least I could see this one. And as you can probably make out, this one is made up of all the names of Christ. And so what we're going to do is we're going to try and construct that picture together. So my preaching assistant, Leslie, is going to come. And she's going to give out loads of these little pieces of paper. We've cut this up into 52 different squares. And I think there's about 55 of you, so a few of you may have to work together.
Well,
so,
we'll put a few on just as clues.
Yes, just to give.
The props manager, not the preaching manager.
Okay, so would you like to give them out then? Pass them to some and then let them just pass a load and then we'll give them out. So you'll see on the back there's a sticky so that we can try and create that picture on this board here. Now, this is quite a difficult exercise, so this is an exercise also in cooperation with the family of God. All right, if you think you're going to do it on your own, I'm very doubtful that you will. Those of you who love jigsaws are going to think, this is wonderful. Those of you who hate jigsaws are going to say, I don't want to do what Russ is asking us to do now. So that's fine, you can just pass it on to someone else. But the point of all of this, really, is that I want you in the middle of this exercise to see for yourself which name God focuses you on. All right? So this is the Holy Spirit allowing us to be impressed by a particular name in this Advent of who Jesus wants to be to us. Now, we need to make sure everybody's got them. So where are some for the people? Right, so where are the spares? Where are the spares? Are they coming? How far have we got? We've got to Moira. You've got one. Any spares? Hang on. Any spares? Let's share yours with some of you. He doesn't want. Right, maybe those of you who are couples can have just one between two so we can free the others. Right, so the first thing that we need to do, we're going to leave this up, but also we're going to take it away. All right, so how are we doing here? Dave? Right, so some, Catherine, have you got one? Oh, give it to Catherine then, Dave. Okay. Right. Okay, so try and orientate yourself as to where you think your bit does. Now, to give you some help, some of you will have written on the back, top right, top left, bottom right, bottom left, and then there's two in the middle. So the middle one say middle? Yes. Okay, so if you can't make it like Anne, somebody take hers. All right, so can we have the one, two, three, four, so we've got the corners. So who's got top, left, right? Here we go. All right, so you need to take the thing. We've got the margin. Okay, we're going to look at it. So the top is here. Okay. All right, so you've got the square, so we know what it's got to fit in. Okay, and so we've now got, yep. We now got a bottom left. So who's got a bottom right or a top right or a top left? Oh, Catherine, there you go. Come on then, if you've got it, you need to come. And then you need just to come and think, where maybe will your piece go? And you might need to cooperate with others because this is an exercise in body ministry. If you get it wrong, you can take your sticky off and we've got more sticky. So do you want to get the sticky ready for others?
Everyone's got a sticky on
it. No, but in case we need any more, in case it goes wrong. Where is it? Oh, you still got yours? See.